Well, good morning. So glad that you all are here this morning. Thank you to all of our confirmands for leading us in worship this morning. And you're not quite finished yet with stuff yet to come. But we are in an Advent sermon series that we're entitled Light in Darkness. But each of the sermon series has a one-word theme to it. So last week was wait, and today, maybe appropriately, it's interruption. And I actually really like this because we are looking at the story of Mary, as you just heard. But before I get into it all, let's pause for just a moment and quiet our hearts and minds. Let's pray. So come, Lord Jesus. We hear and say so many words, yet yours is the word we need. Speak now and help us to listen. Whether that be through your scripture, or an angel, or a whisper of the Spirit. And if what we hear is silent, let it quiet us, let it disturb or interrupt us, let it touch our need, let it break our pride, let it shrink our certainties, let it enlarge our wonder. But speak now and help us to listen, for we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am wondering this morning, has God ever interrupted your plans? Maybe a few of you feel like you were interrupted today and that we didn't let you sit in the west transept. And some of you moved over to the east transept. A little bit of an interruption. Or maybe you've actually experienced this in some more distinct way, that you have met someone and they changed your life. Or there was an unplanned shift in your career, a layoff or something like that. Maybe there was an opportunity that came your way that you didn't expect at all and you risked taking it. Maybe there was a shift in your family, a trauma or a loss or a separation. Maybe you didn't get accepted into the college that you most wanted to go to, but afterwards, looking back, you could actually see how God redirected your life a little bit. Sometimes a door closes and a window opens, as we say. But for Mary now, and I really do have all of you confirmands in mind this morning, because she wasn't probably much older than you all are, but her plans changed the day that God sent an angel to visit her. She was young, she was engaged to be married, but everything changed. If she lived in our times, her typical plans of that day might have been something like creating a website to post things about her wedding that was to come, to post pictures, to secure the venue where they were going to get married, to have a gift registry put together, to be sending out invites to all of their friends and family members in preparation of all this. But all of that changed for Mary when Gabriel announced that she will give birth to the Savior of the world. Rich Viotis writes this. He says, "I assure you that this was not what she thought she would hear when she woke up." And her head must have been spinning, right? The scripture gives us some sense of this, if you were listening carefully, that at the angel's greeting, it says that Mary was greatly troubled. Another translation shakes. She was thoroughly shaken at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. She had to have some awareness, though, of what this might mean for her. Even if she couldn't have thought it through completely in that moment, it might have come later, but saying yes to this particular invitation that came through this angel, it's an invitation of God, would be to risk her reputation and change everything that she had thought about and what she expected life to be like. Now for us, each year, 750,000 teenage girls in the United States get pregnant out of wedlock. So we really can't miss the scandalous nature of what's going on in this story, and it remains one of the most difficult things that's a part of this story and even the way in which God came into the world is, why would God do it like this? That it would be so scandalous, that it would cause everybody to think about why and how this could possibly happen. But for Mary, in her time, to get pregnant before marriage made a woman an adulteress, and she was subject to death by stoning. She has a few questions that were recorded for us, like, how can this be? Questions which remain for us to this day. She certainly wasn't prepared, and we should all marvel just a little bit at her willingness to give an unconditional yes to God. And that has implications for you all that are being confirmed today, as well as for all the rest of us. What we are talking about when we come to baptism and when we are reaffirming our faith is a lot more than just to assent to a few statements about our faith and what we believe. How can we be open to God's interruptions of our plans as followers of Jesus Christ? While none of us will receive Mary's call to give birth to Jesus, we all have an invitation from God to help renew this world in ways big and small, to partner with our Lord to bring light into the darkness of this world and even into the darkness of our own lives. So here's my question for all of you. Has there been a time or a place or a way when God has interrupted? Do you sense God inviting you to do or think or say or go somewhere new or somewhere different? And how could we, as people who live now in the 21st century, position our hearts to say yes to our Lord in the same way that Mary did? So three observations, some of it's just by me paying attention to myself, some of it's just things that I've noticed in others that help us position our hearts, which may be the most important thing, so that we could state yes. So the first one is this: the struggle is necessary and it is good. Will we be completely ready to echo Mary's yes? Truth is, probably not. But that struggle carves out space in us to recognize some deeper desires, desires that God implanted in us well before we ever could recognize them. This is the kind of struggle that requires us to let go of some of our ego, which none of us ever likes to do. It might mean that we have to let go of those self-oriented wants that we have. It might mean that we have to let go of what we feel like we deserve in this life. We might have to let go of that sense of control that we would like to have but don't really have, or the desire for the approval from others, or simply our aversion to uncertainty. So I would say this, parents and grandparents, this is something that we will encounter with our own children as well as in ourselves. Years ago, when William Willimon was chaplain at Duke University, he told a story about a young woman that was in their student ministry there, and she felt that God was calling her to a ministry that was directed to the poor. And so she changed her major from business to actually international studies, and as you can imagine, as she began to talk about this with others and with her family, her father came and paid a visit because he was a little concerned about where this might have been going. After he had visited with his daughter, he was a little bit mystified, and so then he went to meet with William Willimon at his office, and the very first thing that he said to him is, "What have you done to my daughter? I didn't pay thousands of dollars for her to come here to Duke University and to get a major so that she would go live in a hut somewhere with poor people." And Willimon's response is, "Why are you angry with me? You baptized her." And there it is, right? The main part of the struggle. How to position our hearts to say yes to God. To see that as a major part of our parenting, to help our children say yes to all of the passions and ideas and desires that He might give them. A major part of being a disciple for each and every one of us is to go where our Lord leads us. That doesn't come easy to us. But that struggle is so very necessary, and it is good for us to be wrestling with those kinds of questions. The second thing is, I hope that you'll notice that Mary's faith and her yes to God's interruption flipped the script on the status quo. If you read further on and you read a little bit later into that chapter where she goes and is with her friend and her, I guess it would be her aunt, Elizabeth. They're together, and then they sing together, and in the midst of that song, you definitely get the sense of how what God is doing flips the script. But reality was, Mary was a lowly young girl, pregnant and unmarried, easily dismissed, even decried by most of society, and yet she becomes the most blessed, the highly favored one. Saying yes to God will disrupt the status quo. On Wednesday, part of my regular devotions are to listen to Lectio 365, and on Wednesday, it was the feast day of Francis Xavier. He died in 1552. I had never heard of him. Turns out that he is the patron saint of missionaries. He was incredibly instrumental in establishing the establishment of Christianity in Asia. It's said that he was baptized maybe over 30,000 people in his lifetime. But it was intriguing to me that one of the lasting statements of this great hero of missions was, "Be great in little things." That's really different. His story is intriguing. At the age of 26, he got on a boat and he went to Goa, India. I had to look up even where that was, all by himself. How did he even know how to begin? How did he even think of how he should start? What he did do was he began ministering to the sick people in hospitals and teaching children in the streets, and he went on to plant 40 churches and do all sorts of amazing things, but he didn't have some great strategy. He didn't go raise a whole bunch of money to be able to pull it all off. He just went and focused on being great in little things. That whole notion goes against the status quo. Try to be great in little things. Mother Teresa said something really similar. Do small things with great love. What person or task feel too little or too unimportant for you or for me today? One of the best ways that we can discern God's call is to say yes by flipping the script on the status quo and just be great in doing some little things that inevitably lead us into some big things. So to position our hearts to say yes, to a wholehearted yes, we need to acknowledge the struggle of that is necessary and it is good. We need to flip the script on the status quo. And the final thing is we need to say yes to being vulnerable. Mary, in her youth, and in the face of all the societal judgment that she could have experienced, she said yes to risk, to pregnancy, to childbirth, to her life being turned upside down. She had no idea what she was getting herself into. She had to say yes to a life with no guarantees. And as life went on and she grew older, she found herself pondering. It's one of the things that Mary is known for, pondering the words of God, probably those words that came from the angel and much more, pondering the words of Jesus as he grew and he began his ministry. And she remained open to the work of God, even though it included the possibility and the reality of getting hurt, of being scared, of being scarred, and of being disappointed. She remained vulnerable, open to God, even when it meant no guarantee for her own safety and actually no guarantee for her son's safety. Brené Brown has a lot to say about vulnerability. There's a lot more that I could say, but I like the way that she defines it. She says, She defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, calling it our greatest measure of courage, not weakness. Our world doesn't think of vulnerability that way. Vulnerability might be your greatest measure of your courage. And she says it is the birthplace of love and belonging and creativity and joy, not something to be avoided. So much more could be said. But it was Mary's vulnerability that helped say yes to God's invitation, for her to step into the arena of God's amazing work in this world. She learned to live into the mystery of being the God-bearer, as the Eastern Church calls her. She learned to live into a way that she could actually help raise Jesus and then follow Jesus. She lived a really full life, lots of ups and downs, a really good life, but she also saw the worst of what humanity can do. She lived a courageous and a joyful life, even though there were many sorrows that she had to experience, and she really lived an abundant life, the kind that Jesus described. So back to where I started. Has there been, is there now, a time or a place or a way that God has interrupted? Do you sense God inviting you to join him in some really significant way? And most important of all, is are we willing to position our hearts to say yes? To acknowledge the struggle of this, to step outside the status quo, to be vulnerable. And can you possibly imagine if we were to do this as individuals and as a church so that we could actually echo Mary's statement, let it be with us according to your word to say yes with all of our hearts to what God might call us to do and to be. So we get to celebrate our confirmation, but before that, another interruption. We're going to invite our children to come back in, which means that they have to find you. Since many of them were in the choir, they weren't sitting with you. So as they come in, if you would help by standing up or at least waving, or if we need be, come and getting them, we would appreciate that.